yesterday, a bunch of stats came out. And we kind of hinted to us talking about them today. I just kind of wanted to get everything somewhat organized in my little head here, so I wasn't mumbling and stumbling over my words and trying to decipher what all this information means. And even after a full day, it really is still a hodgepodge of statistics. And after you break all the numbers down and read different people's interpretation, it becomes more and more obvious, actually painfully obvious, that once again, the media, the Democrats, Obama, Al Sharpton-like leaders, influencers, pulling the proverbial wool over everyone's eyes once again. Because when you are told one thing, when you are shown one thing over and over and over again, remember, over 60-something percent of the American people still get all their news from television. Remember that. Even though you got Facebook, even though you got Twitter, even though you got the World Wide Web, the majority of people still get their information as far as the news goes from television. And there's a lot of low information individuals. And when I mean low information, I talk about it not as people being dumb, individuals like my dad, who's 78 years old, extremely smart. He didn't go to college. He's not a doctor. He's not a professor. But he's a smart, tough street guy who's lived seven lifetimes over. I mean, the experience and the wisdom and the knowledge. He's not tech savvy. He goes online, but my mom sets up the websites that he goes to, which basically are stock market places or websites, I guess you would say. He gets his information from television. He puts on CNN, or he puts on MSNBC, or sometimes he puts on Fox, and he gets his information. So whatever he's seeing, whatever he's hearing, is what, in his mind, is going on. What he reads in the newspaper. He doesn't hear Wolf Blitzer and then go, okay, now let me go to Fox. Okay, now let me go to Breitbart News. Okay, now let me go to The Hill. Now let me get in my car and turn on Glenn Beck. Okay, so I've got these seven pieces of information about the same topic. All right. That's not what he does. So when he's watching CNN or he's watching MSNBC, and all he's seeing are individuals like Don Lemon talk about, even he, Mr. on television, Mr. Famous, Mr. hosting New Year's Eve parties, hot tubbing, I mean, drunk. He has to be careful when he goes outside and how he engages with police, because he doesn't want to get killed. So you have someone like my dad going, wow, the CNN anchor has to worry about going outside? What's going on in our country? My dad lives on an island. There's not too many killings going on where he is. There's not too much unrest going on where he is. There might be a long line at one of the restaurants because it's Fish Fry Friday. And there's a little tense standoff with Mr. Hinkle, the 83-year-old pushy bastard with a pointed cane. That's the extent. That's the extent. So here's my dad. All is well on the Florida front. And he's watching Don Lemon talking about he has to be careful when he goes outside and talks to cops. And then my dad's watching all these people on CNN and MSNBC marching in the streets, clashing with police officers, breaking windows at police departments in Oakland and throwing bottles of cops on the Minnesota streets and fireworks and closing down freeways. And my dad's going, oh my God, it's anarchy. It's anarchy. Oh my gosh, this is Armageddon. This is the end of the world. Or all the conspiracy people from years ago talking about Obama's master plan. That was to create a race war that would eventually lead to martial law, which would eventually lead to the 2016 elections being canceled, which would lead to him staying on as president. Remember, that was a conspiracy theory many years ago. That was a conspiracy many years ago. People would send my dad. My dad's got a lot of conservative friends. And they would send my dad these types of things, and my dad would go, Joe, how do I open this? How do I open them? How do I get in my mail? I don't know. My mom would have to open the mail, and there'd be all sorts of these types of things from his friends. So here's my dad going, oh my God, this is happening. This is happening. Because that's what the media is portraying. He doesn't know. He's on an island. He's in Florida. It's chill there. Just like I'm in Glendale. It's chill here. And then these stats come on television. Obama, quote, stats. And of course, he leaves out all sorts of pertinent information, but instead says black people are overwhelmingly more likely to be shot by police officers, and the stats in the Washington Post. And when you add that with what the media pushes. And I mean pushes. Because remember, the only people that benefit from all this are Democrats. All of these groups and subgroups and subgroups off of subgroups benefit Democrats. Saying to the blacks, hey, you are where you are because of the Republicans. You are where you are because of the Republicans. You are being killed because of the Republicans. Police are Republicans. Police are bad. Hey, Mexicans, you are where you are because of Republicans. Republicans are bad. They don't like you. Hey, poor people, you are where you are because of Republicans. They don't like you. Hey, gay people, you are where you are because Republicans hate you. Hey, Bruce Jenner, you and your friends are where you are because it all benefits Democrats. Democrats, deep down inside, they love this. They love this. Al Sharpton has made millions and millions and millions of dollars. Millions. Millions. Look, he's made millions of dollars. He hasn't helped any black folk. What the hell is Al Sharpton? Magic Johnson has done more for black folk than Al Sharpton. Magic Johnson's a basketball player. Al Sharpton's job is supposed to be helping black people. He doesn't help black people. He puts money in his pocket by telling black people that white people hate them. He stokes the fire. The fire. That's all he does. They create this aura of black people being executed out on the streets. And then they get the Washington Post or Mother Jones, Corn, Daily Beast. Get these liberal sites. These liberal propaganda organizations to then take numbers, skew numbers, manipulate numbers, twist numbers, and fit a narrative that television media is putting out there every day. So people go, oh my God, oh no, oh. So when you look at these numbers, and you really look at the numbers, it's not just a Obama soundbite. The average of 2-1, and they are so. When numbers come out for everything they're saying is going on, you're expecting mayhem. You're expecting numbers that say in 2015, 7,000 black people were slaughtered. I mean, that's what numbers to jump out at you. And there is no, well, you got to take an account for this and you got to take an account for that. When you start having to do that with statistics and numbers, that means every narrative that is being put out there is a sham. It's a scam. Black Lives Matter, scam. That's what it all means. When the numbers are not just black and white, When the numbers aren't just black and white, that means the narrative is a scam. Drunk driving numbers, those are black and white. This is how many people are arrested for drunk driving. This is how many people were killed in drunk driving. There is no nuance to it. But when you talk about black people being shot, non-black people being shot, MAGA, and there's a nuance, now all of a sudden, you start to realize, okay, something's off here. There shouldn't be a nuance to what we're being told is basically an epidemic. Black Lives Matter leader DeVry says is an extermination of black folk, ethnic cleansing of black folk. I mean, he said that. Ethnic cleansing? Do you realize what ethnic cleansing is? When you're hearing that type of language, and your CNNs and your MSNBCs and your ABCs and your CBSs are just shaking their head when DeVry is talking about ethnic cleansing of black people. I mean, you're talking about the extermination of Jews. Talking about 7-8 million Jews in Nazi Germany being gassed. I mean, that's ethnic cleansing. What has gone on in different parts of the Middle East or in Africa? Cleansing. I mean, that's a strong word. So when people are throwing that around, again, you're thinking, oh my God, I'm going to see numbers that are staggering. I'm going to be shocked at these numbers. And those numbers are not going to be able to be debated. You're not going to be able to have a Washington Post reporter put numbers down on paper and then have to explain the nuances of it. And then a day later, you're not going to have another report come out from a professor at Harvard, an economist. And his numbers are opposite of what we've been told. And when you have a terrorist group like Black Lives Matter, bottles at cops, shutting down freeways, when you have an organization that is doing what they're doing, and you have the media promoting this, the numbers should not be able to be debated. They should be done, should be drunk driving numbers, plain and simple. Should be drunk driving numbers. It should be undisputable numbers. How many deaths? How many drunk driving? How many? Each state, there shouldn't be a nuance. And that's what we have. So, the Washington Post puts out stats. Okay? And the first stats that they put out are January 1st, 2015 to now. And during that time, 1,000 502 police shootings occurred that resulted in somebody dying. And out of those deaths, 732 of those deaths were white people. Yeah, were white people. 381 were black people, and 382 were of an unknown race. The nice way to say IEO. Indeterminate ethnic origin. An IEO. So, these numbers don't put black people in the number one position. They don't even put black people in the number two position. They put them in the third position. But now the nuance begins. Now you have to get into the weeds, and now you have to adjust for population. And now you have to go, all right, so there's 160 million more white people to black people. And whites make up 60% of the U.S. population, but only 49% of those who are killed by cops. Blacks account for 24% of the population, even though 13% of the blacks make up the population that have been killed. So that means 2.5% are more likely to be killed by police officers than white people. Yes, 2.5. So that's where the Obama and the median number of two times more likely. See? Now you're in nuances. When we're hearing all of this murder and destruction and, oh my God, just execute. These people are the Emmett Tills of this generation. That man got executed for stealing, resisting arrest, having sex with children. I mean, I'm not saying they were killed for those offenses. But again, you're taking a guy who said hello to a white woman and was lynched and comparing him to a guy who has an extensive criminal record. And this individual is resisting arrest, fighting with the police, and he gets killed. And then you're looking at stats that Obama is quoting, because of course, Democrats, Obama, and the media all work together to get one message out. I mean, you don't think it's kind of ironic that you have Obama talking about two times more likely. And that's coming from a stat that the Washington Post has to put together, but they have to nuance it. They go, oh man, oh no, these numbers. Oh gee, these numbers show that white people actually, okay, but no, wait a minute. But white people make up more of a population than black people and brown people and IEO. So, okay, now we got a nuance. Now, okay, this is how we'll do it. But yeah, again, the nuancing doesn't end there, because now you have to nuance and say, well, it's a fact that black people are engaged in more criminal activities that warrant more interaction with police officers. That's a fact. That is a fact. That is a fact. And if you look at a lot of these instances, they have taken place in high crime areas, poverty-stricken areas, areas where the prospects for a bright future are very low. These aren't coincidences. These aren't, oh, what just happened? This black man was walking to the Glendale Mall when the Glendale police officer just came up and shot him in the back of the head, executed him on the street. Again, you have nuances. When we're being told that there's ethnic cleansing going on between white police officers and black folk, I want to see numbers that don't have to be nuanced. This isn't the first time that numbers that Obama and the left use are nuanced. No different than a few months ago when the numbers came out of mass shootings. And you had CNN quoting numbers. The president, the Daily Beast, Huffington Post, MSNBC, every pundit, every anchor, all quoting numbers. And when you looked in the numbers and you nuanced, you've seen that the narrative by all of these people were numbers that included gang activity, robberies, things that shouldn't have been included in statistics where your low information voter is being told you have, in an essence, Aurora, Colorado, or Sandy Hook happening every day. And that's how they finessed and nuanced those numbers. So the low information voter, the low information TV watcher are seeing everybody coming on television, writing articles, the president quoting statistics that are clumping in gang shootings from Chicago, which Democrats and the president don't want to address, a Sandy Hook or in Aurora, Colorado. And those things are completely different. So you have to go in and reconfigure the numbers, re-nuance them to get accurate statistics. So the left does this all the time. The left does this all the time. And now you have the Black Lives Matters and this terrorist group throwing around the names of words of ethnic cleansing, and you're going, all right, there's thousands, there's got to be tens of thousands. And then you're like, wait a minute, 732 white people. Ah, but wait a minute, you got it. The white people make up more of a population. But what about the crime rates? And what about the areas of our country where these things happen? You can say that there's more white people, and when you nuance the numbers and the population, that it's two times more likely, but you also, again, have to take into account crime rates. And when you take into account crime rates and how much interaction black folk have with police, you up population statistics to putting it on par. Listen, if you're living in a war zone like Chicago, okay, you're going to interact with police 10, 20, 30 times more. 10, 20, 30 times more than you are somebody that lives in Glendale or Fort Myers. Or even Los Angeles, for that matter. Listen, when you're shutting down highways and you have police officers being slaughtered, are listening. People are listening. You have people like the animal in Dallas that killed those cops. You have this person watching TV. You have this person reading articles talking about ethnic cleansing of black people. You have all of this rhetoric out there. So here's this guy thinking, man, black people are just getting executed. Even the president of the United States is saying as much. I got to go out there and do something. It's kind of like when people are calling Trump Hitler. And other liberals are saying, hey, it's all right for these protesters to do what they're doing. Hitler's evil. Mussolini's evil. You have to kill Hitler. You have to kill Mussolini. You have to kill baby Hitler. Remember, when Dylann Roof executed those black people in the church, what did we do? Banned Dukes of Hazzard. It was the Confederate flag. It was everything the Confederate flag stands for. Remember that, guys? Do you remember that? Remember how big of a deal it was that in South Carolina, Nikki Haley took the Confederate flag down from the State House? Do you remember that? You remember the guy from the Dukes of Hazzard going online talking about how he's basically losing whatever residual checks were left? Because now Dukes of Hazzard would no longer be played because the car, the General Lee, had a Confederate flag on it. You remember that? And here we have Black Lives Matter marching through the streets. What do we want? Dead cops. Pigs in a blanket. Fry them. Kill them. And all we hear from the left are, these are peaceful protests. and DeVry. They're exterminating. They're genocide. They're... And then you look at these numbers and go, but according to these numbers, that's not the case. Oh, no, 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 no. No, you have to take into account for the population, and then you have to subtract the population, and then you have to... Wow, you're really working tough. You really... And then you look at these numbers and you go, okay, you're doing your nuance game. All right, so blacks are being slaughtered. Okay. And then you look to this Harvard report, which is amazing. Amazing. And the individual, like I said, the individual, Ronald G. Fryer Jr., okay? I mean, this guy is he's a genius. I mean, he really is. The guy's a genius. He's at Harvard. Guy's a genius. He put these numbers together because he was outraged. He was. He was outraged. He did this study because when all of these killings were happening. Remember, every day the media and Black Lives Matter and everybody are reporting all of this police murder and genocide, and so he was outraged. Okay? He was outraged. I mean, he's a young black man. He's a young black man. This isn't a white guy from Harvard. Hi, my name is Ronald G. Fryer. No, it's a black man who's seen everything that the media was spewing. And he was like, I'm going to get to the bottom of this. I'm going to get to the bottom of this. He's reading all these reports from the Washington Post and Mother Jones, and he's going to get to the bottom of this. And he gets to the bottom of it. And you know what he says? No evidence of racial bias in police shootings. Now, black people are more likely than white people to be touched, handcuffed, thrown against a wall, pushed to the ground, and have weapons pointed at them. But there is no evidence of racial bias in situations where police fire their guns at civilians. Like I said in the beginning of this segment, when you have cops being executed on the streets from individuals that are doing it because systematically, just ethnically cleansed, when you have Black Lives Matter putting out propaganda and the media perpetuating the propaganda, and Barack Hussein Obama perpetuating the propaganda. When you have this happening, you better be able to back it up with numbers that are beautiful. But you have a Washington Post liberal propaganda tool spewing out numbers. And then you have Harvard, a professor, an economist, a genius. I mean, the guy is a genius. Ronald G. Fryer, the guy is like the youngest economist, all of these things, all of these accolades. You have this guy putting together a report, putting together statistics that contradict the liberal propaganda wing of their party, the Washington Post. Guys, this isn't supposed to be that way. This isn't supposed to be that way. Why was everybody outraged over the Iraq war? Why was everybody? Because there was so much misinformation. There were so many conflicting reports. For something as big as going to war, something as big as having thousands and thousands and thousands of our soldiers being just slaughtered by Islamic animals. We better have had just like Pearl Harbor type stuff. Like, hey, we just got attacked. The Japs, the Nazis, they said, we're going to just crush you. We're going to rule that half is going to be Japan. The other half is going to be Germany. All right, well, now we got to go to war. We got to have information. It's got to be just undeniable. This is it. And we didn't have that with Iraq. And still to this day, the war gets disputed. The reasons for going there gets disputed. Everything involving it gets disputed. When we have night after night of violent protests, because that's what they are. The media likes to say peaceful protests. They're not peaceful. Throwing a bottle at a cop is not peaceful. Shutting down freeways is not peaceful. These are not peaceful protests. So when night after night you have violent protests, you have police officers being slaughtered, you have what appears to be a complete breakdown. Complete breakdown of our country's social structure. You better have numbers to back this up. When you are leading terrorist group, I call it a terrorist group, others like me call it a terrorist group, the left calls it social activism, but when you're part of that group and you're talking about police, ethnic cleansing of black people, you better have the numbers to back it up. And right now you have the Washington Post and their numbers, and you have Ronald G. Fryer of Harvard, his numbers, and both these numbers don't gel. So what that says is a war that has been started by the media, by President Obama and Black Lives Matter. There is a war that has been started by them under false pretenses. A war that has been started under false pretenses. So that certain people can profit. Doesn't this all sound so familiar? The Al Sharptons profit. The Democrats profit. Hillary Clinton profits. Barack Hussein Obama profits. If you don't see this, you're blind. If you don't see this, you're blind, or you don't want to see it. So let me throw off some of these numbers. Numbers? As far as being pushed to the ground, so forth and so on, are not that higher. Meaning, you would think they would be off the charts, but they're not. They're not off the charts. They're more, but they're not off the charts. And let's face it. Let's face it. That's just, as far as I'm concerned, an upbringing thing. That's what that is. It's an upbringing thing. Like I've said before, I was taught that if a police officer pulls you over, and I wasn't taught this because I'm white. I wasn't taught this because I'm not black. Matter of fact, if it's a black and white thing, I shouldn't have been taught this. But when I was in high school, I went to a Catholic high school, Kearney High School. And my senior year, we were allowed to take vocational classes. We were allowed to do what is done in public high schools. So your senior year, I think in some cases your junior and senior year, you can take the required curriculum involving different high school classes that need to get your diploma, but then you can take air conditioning classes or wood shop, car mechanic, criminal justice, and you can get a certificate, and that helps you get into a profession in that field. If you don't want to go to college, and if you do go to college, it helps you with a college that you pick for taking these courses. So I took criminal justice because, as you know, I wanted to be a police officer. Those of you who don't know and you're new to the show, yes, I wanted to be a police officer. That was my original goal, be a police officer and then work in the FBI or DEA, something like that. I know some of you that have known me for a long time, we just found that out, go, oh, God, that's funny, but yes, it's true. So I was taught, because the teacher in our class was a retired detective for the Rochester Police Department, taught along with the entire class, that when you get pulled over by a police officer, you have your ID ready, you have your insurance ready. You roll down your window, you put the dome light on if it's night, and then you put your hands on the wheel. You make that experience as comfortable for the police officer as can possibly be. Because if you make it comfortable for that police officer, you're more apt to have a comfortable experience. You're more apt to maybe let go of speeding or a taillight. You might be able to just get a warning. You're making this police officer's job easy. He's not feeling threatened. You're answering him, yes, sir, thank you, no. Ooh, I didn't know that, officer. Now, this is what I was taught. I was not taught you sit in the car, the officer comes over, knocks on the window, you look at him, what? Yeah, can you roll the window down? Why? And how many times have we seen this? How many times have we seen this? How many times? Matter of fact, Jay-Z has a famous song. He has a famous song. 99 Problems talks about the police officer coming up to the car, talking about checking the car, searching the car, and Jay-Z saying, you can't go in my trunk. You can't go where it's locked. You need a warrant for that. I know my rights. I know. It's a different culture. 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 So when you're reading these statistics, push into a wall, use handcuffs, draw weapons. Well, just look at the Eric Garner video. They're like, we're going to arrest you. And he's going, why? Why are you going to arrest? You know, you're not going to arrest me. Well, you can't be selling loose cigarettes. It's against the law. We're going to arrest. You can't. Eric Garner didn't say, okay, and turn around and put his hand behind his back. He didn't do that. He didn't do that. Anton Sterling, do that. When the police rolled up on him, it was, I ain't doing nothing wrong. You can't, but why you do, why you, what? There was no, I'm going to get on the ground. I'm going to put my hands over my back of my head. I'm going to shut my mouth. They're going to dope. They're going to find a gun. Oh, they're going to find a gun. Gee. It's a culture. Hell, it's a culture that dates back to the 80s. NWA, F the police, coming straight from the underground. It's a culture. It's a culture. So let me bust out some of these statistics. Police officers are more likely with blacks to use hands. 2,165 versus whites, 1,845. So you have a 17% more. So you got 17% disparaging. Not that much. And that is the 17% which I just described. Hands up, okay. Get out of the car, okay. Windows rolled down, okay. Get on the ground. Okay. Get on the ground. Why? What did I do? I didn't do anything. You're always messing with me. Remember the Eric Garner? You're always messing with me. You always do it. You're always. Guess what? That warrants using hands. That factors in the percent. Pushed into a wall. 623 with black folk. 500. You're looking at between 15 and 18%. Use handcuffs, 310. With white, 266, 16%. Draw weapon. With blacks, 155. With whites, 129, 19%. Point weapon, 54 with blacks, 43 with whites. That's 24%. Use pepper spray or baton. 5 with blacks, 4 with whites, 25%. So this Ronald G. Fryer spent 3,000 hours sifting through police data from 10 major police departments in 3 states, Texas, Florida, and California. They examined 1,332 shootings between 2000 and 2015. In those shootings, the study found that police officers were more likely to fire their weapons without having been attacked when the suspects were white. Black and white civilians involved in police shootings were also equally likely to have been carrying a gun. To answer the more basic question of whether shootings were more likely to occur in the first place if the suspect were black, Fryer and his team turned to Houston. Study examined police reports of not only shootings but also arrests in which lethal force would have been justified, coded with characteristics like attempting to murder an officer, evading or resisting arrest, or using a taser. In these charged encounters, police were 20% less likely to shoot if the suspect was black. Even more surprisingly, the recent rise in videos of these kinds of altercations didn't alter the pattern. These findings starkly are in contrast with much of the conventional wisdom about racial bias in police shootings. And remember, this is coming right after the governor of Minnesota, Mark Dayton, Democrat, threw gasoline all over the fire. I mean, literally all over the fire. When after Philando Castile was shot, he said, would this have happened if the driver and passenger were white? I don't think it would have. So I'm forced to confront, I think all of us in Minnesota are forced to confront, that this kind of racism exists. So remember, that was said. Then, of course, Obama came out and said African Americans are shot by police at twice the rate of whites, which is the Washington Post un-nuanced. This, remember, you got whites being shot more. You got blacks being third on the shot chart. But you got to get in there, nuance, finesse, put number here, put number there, and then you go, oh, look, two times more. There you go. That's the number we're going with. It's just like the unemployment numbers. Oh, look, unemployment, 4.8%. Well, what about all the people that dropped out of the workforce? Ah, we don't count them. Yeah, but shouldn't you count? Shouldn't you count people that aren't looking for work because they're frustrated? Nah, that's not how we do it. Why not? But that's not how we do it. If we did that, numbers don't look good. Oh, okay. Well, why don't you do the real numbers in this Washington Post chart? Why? Because if we did that, it doesn't back up our narrative. Why don't you use the numbers from Ronald G. Fryer? Ah, because that definitely doesn't back up our narrative. Then it just shows that we are creating these narratives, these divisions for political gain, for monetary gain. That's why. Oh, okay. We get it. Got it. Get it. Got it. We got it. So this Fryer report says, listen, the shootings, the deaths, no. Being thrown against the wall, yeah. Being pepper sprayed, yeah. Being handcuffed, yeah. Draw a weapon, yeah. But that ain't racism. My friends, that's a culture. That's an upbringing. And before you go, wow, Rob, what are you? We're going to discuss in the next segment, because this is a formatted show, my friends. This is no Mark Levin. Mark Levin! Ah! Mark Levin! Ah! Because then we're going to talk about Jay Stallion, police officer, who posted this very long Facebook post. He's a black police officer, and he talks about the culture. He talks about his experiences, which then backs up what this Harvard professor put together. Because what this Jay Stallion, I don't know if I'm saying his name right, S-T-A-L-I-E-N. What he's saying is a culture. It's a racism. It's a culture. how black folk are raised in different communities and what they're taught and how to interact with police brings on police officers using their hands more, pushing them into walls more, pushing them to grounds more, pointing their weapons at them more. Now, here's the bigger question. Will NBC, MSNBC, CNN, will any of them talk about Ronald G. Fryer's report? Will any of them, or will they talk about it and bring on people like Dyson? You know, that guy Dyson who rhymes, making his rounds because he's got a new book out about Obama. And he goes, my brother. But you don't understand the black plight. We'll be going in the flight, my brother. Like, what the hell is this guy doing? Where they then just bring, so you'll have Don Lemon go, Ronald G. Fryer of Harvard came out with this report, which disputes the numbers. And we have Michael Dyson here. Michael, yes, Don, I just want to tell you that Ronald G. Fryer is wrong. He's wrong. My brother, with due respect, is wrong. And then they'll just bash this Harvard economist's findings. They'll bash, and then they'll move on. Or will they, is that what they'll do? Or will mainstream media just ignore this report because it doesn't fit the narrative? Because this guy's study flies in the face of the narrative. It flies in the face of the narrative of the Black Lives Matter, the Obamas, the media, that black folk are being ethnically cleansed. It flies in that narrative, and it bolsters the claim of black folk and culture and what black folk in certain neighborhoods are taught, how they interact, which brings on more police interaction. Plain and simple. So if you want to check this out, it's Ronald G. Fryer. It's a good report. It's a good study. And we'll see what happens as the day goes on, if this is going to make its rounds. I predict it won't. I predict I will not hear about it. I will not read about it, because it doesn't fit the narrative.